Be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if we'll. Three different passages of Scripture. One's in Philemon chapter 24. Actually, if you know your Bible, you know there's no chapter 24 in Philemon. Now, Philemon verse 24, there's only one chapter. So Philemon verse 24, and then 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And then go over in the Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now we'll be to 1 Samuel in a little bit, all right? But I'll let you already get there so you'll be ahead of the game. Philemon and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Philemon and 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would. And we'll use these verses and preach to you just a little bit tonight. Try to help you. And Philemon 24, and we're going to start there, all right? Then we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. All right. Everybody looks like you've either found it or you've given up. All right, there we go. Philemon, verse 24, if you will. Notice what the Bible said that you're going to think, man, that's a strange verse to read. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. All right, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Four men that the Apostle Paul called their names and wrote them down so we'd have them. The Lord wanted us to have them today. And he said, they're my fellow laborers. Back then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to look at one verse here, just verse 10. The Bible says here, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Now, Philemon was written about 64 A.D. At that time, Paul said, Demas is my fellow laborer. Now, the book of 2 Timothy, 2 years later, and Paul says this about Demas. He said, he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said, he's no longer with me. He's not working with me anymore. Now, I just want you to think about that for a moment. And what in the world happened? What happened? I've been in the Lord's work for a long time, in some form or other for at least 50 years. Now, not on the staff or anything, but I've been involved in the Lord's work for at least 50 years. Starting when I was a teenager and then, of course, being in a preacher's home, I've seen a lot of Christians disappear. Now, those of you that have been in church for years and years, you've seen the same thing. And oftentimes you think, well, what happened? What happened to this person? I mean people that at one time taught a Sunday school class, people that at one time were bus captains, people one time very active, but now they've disappeared. They're no longer involved. They're no longer working. They're no longer even coming to church. So what happened to these people? Now, we don't know. What we know about Demas is Paul said, tells us that he loved the world. He fell in love with the world. Well, I want to preach to you tonight on why Christians fail. Not because I want you to fail, but I want you to keep from failing, all right? I want to just preach a little bit on why Christians fail. And the truth of the matter is there's far too many that do that. Far too many failures along the way. I believe they're saved. I believe people got saved, without a doubt. But, man, they just make a failure of their life. And you say, what happens? Well, I want us to look at this. Hey, it's more than just here and there. 1 Samuel chapter 15, I told you we'd get there in a minute, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 15, look if you were, here's a failure. 1 Samuel 15, verse 16, and the watchman of Saul, excuse me, I was in the wrong chapter, 15, verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Hey, here's Saul, first king of the nation of Israel. Had a good beginning.
Yes, sir.
Good beginning. But man, he didn't finish the way he started. He was a failure along the way. Well, what causes that? I believe there's some reasons. We're not going to try to cover every reason that can exist, but just one thing, I believe one thing, it's sort of a spiritual dementia, all right? Our memory fails. Our mind fails upon us. Look, Deuteronomy chapter 6, all right? The Lord warns us of these kind of things. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look in verse 12. We find these words, Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, the Lord here is speaking to the nation of Israel. He said, Don't you forget. Beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Now, surely you look at this and you think, How in the world could they forget the Lord? I mean, God brought them out in a miraculous way out of Egypt. Took them across the Red Sea on dry land, preserved, protected them, fed them, kept them, you know, watered, you know, took care of them along the way. How could they forget it? Well, they did. They did. Hey, it's amazing to me what we can forget. Amazing to me what we can forget. I think one thing goes wrong with Christians, we forget what God's done for us in our conversion. We forget what he did for us in conversion. Oh, my soul, what a difference he made in your life. You remember what you were before you got saved? You remember what you were before you got saved? You say, well, I was a pretty good person. Really? Really? Hey, I was just a kid, but I needed to get born again. I knew I was a sinner. And I think about what the Lord did. Man, he changed you from that old man to the new man. Took off them old ragged clothes and put on the new robe upon you, all right? Man, what he forgave so much for you when he saved your soul. What a blessing. You know, I look back on my life, I'll be honest with you, I could tell you a long time a lot of the things I never did. I never did. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what any kind of liquor, any kind of wine, whiskey, booze, anything. I have no idea what it tastes like. Never tasted a drop of it. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't do it because it stunk. I thought, why would anybody drink something that smells so bad, all right? And then as I got older, I didn't do it because I knew Dad'd kill me. But then, man, I got to trying to live for the Lord, and I don't want anything to do with it. And I look back, you know, I said, thank God, God kept me out of that. God kept me out of that. Hey, listen, I never had any kind of illegal dope, all right? Never snorted heroin or cocaine or what. I don't even know how you do some of those things, all right? I never done it, never been around. Thank God. See, I'm grateful. I look back and I thank God what God kept me out of. God kept me out of a lot of things that a lot of people I know went through, a lot of people I went to school with went through, a lot of people I've watched in my life since then. Gone through, man, they just drug themselves through the gutter, got beat up and battered. Now the Lord saved them, and thank God for it. But man, we forget what God did for us in our conversion. What a mistake. How sad we could do that. Not only we forget what he did there, but we forget how he's answered prayer. We forget how he's answered prayer. Think about what he's done. How many times you prayed and God answered your prayer for you and gave you what you prayed for? Man, he answered that prayer. You think about it. You've gone to him. You've gone to him and you were in need. Maybe you needed to be delivered and he delivered you. Maybe you were in need of something to be given to you and God gave it to you. Maybe you were sick and God helped you to get well. Oh, whatever it is. Well, we forget that. It's so easy for you and I to forget the prayer that God has answered for us. Man, he's been good to you. And here he is. He's told us in the Bible, beware lest thou forget the Lord. But man, our memory fails us. Yeah, our memory fails us. We forget the answered prayer. We forget what he did at conversion. But that's not all, man. We forget how God's blessed. Forget how God has blessed you in your life. Look, man, just stop and think. Just stop and think how God's blessed you. We, you know, you say, well, I'm, you know, we don't live in the world's fanciest. Wait a minute. You're not in jail. You're not in prison. All right? You're not there. You're not, hey, you're not on your last gasp physically. Oh, there may be some health issues, you know, but you're not laid up in hospital bed. You're not laid up in hospital bed. God's taking care of you. And God's blessed you. You've got people that love you. Got people that love you. They know you and they love you anyway, all right? What a blessing. What a blessing. And what God has done. You know, I stop and think about that, and then I begin to think about people. And I think about folks that I know how much God has blessed them with, but just one negative incident came along. I mean, just one thing, and all of a sudden that one thing outweighed and overshadowed a multitude of blessings God had bestowed on them, and they walked away from God. Never have understood that. Why? Well, we forget. We forget. And all it's that one deal, you know. Just that one thing. Wait a minute. How about the blessing of God? How about the blessing of God? Hey, we forget sometimes, too, we forget the chastening of God. When I was a kid coming up, some of you know knew my parents, obviously. Many of you did, but some of you didn't. And to talk about Dad and Mom, I thank God for the parents I had, but man, they laid some things down, and they said, if you this is what's going to happen. And there were times that I didn't do what I should have done, and man, it got laid down. There was some chastening that went on. There were some unhappy times in there, okay? But boy, that chastening was good, because every now and then I'd think about doing something, and then I'd go, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. I just believe I'll skip that. You know, there's those kind of things. You ever have somebody tell you when you were a kid, and you said, nah, man, I better not, my parents, and then they come up with that brilliant statement, what your parents don't know won't hurt? Yeah, I said, yeah, but it's the thing they always found out. That was the problem, you know. It always got back. It didn't hurt when they didn't know, but when they found out it did. Brilliant statement, you know. Well, listen, you don't hide anything from God. God sometimes takes you to the woodshed. Why? Because you need that chastening hand of God. Hey, hear me. Then we forget that. We forget God's chastening, and we get the idea, oh, well, you know, that's all right. It'll be okay this time. No. Hey, you know what it's like to experience God's chastening hand? Not very pleasant, right? Yet you're willing to go through it again? Red Skelton used to have a character he played called the Mean Little Kid. And he'd say, if I do it, I get a whipping. And he'd say, I do it. All right. Man, that's the way some people are with God. You know God's going to chasten you, but you think, I'll go ahead and do it anyway. Boy, I don't know how you feel about it, but I didn't like that chastening. I never liked it. I didn't like it when my parents chastened me. I didn't enjoy it. It got to the point where, man, they didn't really have to chasten me. All I had to do was look at me, and I didn't like that. And sometimes it was that talk they'd give you. Just go ahead and beat me, man. I don't have to sit here and listen to... Just go ahead and give me that whip. Now, my parents never beat me, all right? But, you know, we look at it that way. Hey, what happens? Why do Christians fail? Because our memory fails us. We forget the goodness of God. We forget the blessing of God. We forget what He saved us from, what He saved us out of. We forget those things. You know, and we forget His blessing. We forget the answered prayer that He's given to us. Hey, did that happen to Demas when he fell in love with the world and he forget everything God had done? I don't know. But boy, I know I see a lot of people, I think they forget what God's done. They forget it. Hey, one of the reasons Christians fail is because their memory fails. The second reason that many Christians fail is because of heart failure. Their heart fails them. Look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, would you? 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It's a thing called heart failure. 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26, there's a fellow here in this chapter called Uzziah, King Uzziah. And it talks about him and how he was blessed and how he did. Verse 15, the very last part of verse 15 says, "For he was marvelously helped till he was strong." And God helped him. But look at verse 16. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense." Hey, his heart. Heart failure. For years now, they've been telling us that heart trouble is one of the greatest killers in the world today. And it is. Many of you have heart issues. Some of you bear the scars from open heart surgery. I've got stents in heart arteries now, you know, and the doctors tell me you've got coronary heart disease. When they say it like that, it really sounds bad, doesn't it? But hey, it's heart trouble. Boy, Christians get heart trouble too. Our Christians' problem is our heart gets cold. Our heart gets cold to the things of God. Man, remember when you first got saved? I don't know, but when you first got saved, man, I don't know about you, but man, I was just fired up. There was a fire that was kindled in me. And boy, it was burning and it was exciting. And I got saved on a Sunday night, went to school on Monday morning, and I had to tell somebody. I was just stirred. I had to find somebody that I could corner and tell him about getting saved. And I picked Kirby Collier, and still remember the kid's name. He's in the third grade, Alva Elementary School, and I cornered old Kirby and began to talk to him. I tell him, man, I got saved. You need to get saved too. Now, I was no great theologian. I didn't know the Romans Road or any other route, but I did know how I got saved, and I just had to tell somebody. Why, boy, there was a fire stirring up. But you ever notice how quick that thing can get cold? How easy it is for us to get indifferent. No big deal. It's such a shame. How in the world do we let our heart get cold like that? Listen, that's one reason that I believe the Lord put some things in the Bible. One of the things He put in there was, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Hey, He said you need to go to church. You need to go to church. I've always marveled at people that acted like church. God made church for everybody but them. I don't believe you got to go to church to be a Christian. What a brilliant statement. You know, I've had many severals tell me that. And some of them told me after spending years serving the Lord, being in church. And then, I just don't think you got to go to church to be Christian. Yeah, but you sure do need to be there if you're going to stay warm, all right? Amen. If you want to keep that old heart from getting cold to the things of God, you need to be in the house of God. That's why we push, and I try to get people, hey, come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, come every time. Have revival, come then. Get involved. Be there for everything. Every service. Why? Keep your heart warm. That's why. Just keep your heart warm. Just stay warmed up. Man, you know, just to keep yourself warm. It's like being out there on that cold day. You just stick close to the fire, right? My mom, boy, she would, the older she got, I think the more, the thinner her blood got. Because, and then she made it worse. Because she'd camp out in front of a heater, and that heater's blowing heat right on her. Well, if you get used to that, 80 degrees is a little cool, all right? And that's the way she got. I mean, you know, she just stuck right there. You know, hey, I'm not in favor of that when it comes to that kind of heat, but I am in favor of it when it comes to spiritual heat, spiritual warmth. That's why the Bible tells us, man, get in church. Get in church. Go to church. Be there faithfully. Why, man? Keep your heart from getting cold. Somebody come along, pump you up a little bit, all right? Next thing he says is we need to read our Bible. Why is that? Study. Read your Bible. Get in that book every day. Why? Keep your heart warm. Keep your heart warm. You ever sit down and read your Bible and then God, the Holy Spirit, just really speaks to you? You ever been in that situation? Now, if you never have, you're not paying attention when you read, all right? You're just not. You're just reading words. Just reading words. But man, if you get in there and you get that Bible open and you begin to read it and you listen and you're paying attention to what you read, there's going to be some times, man, you're just going to park it and go, woo, that's good. Now, you may not do it that way, but it's going to stir you up, all right? Why? The Lord's trying to keep your heart warm, that's why. Because when we get heart trouble and that heart gets cold, we tend to stray away. We get away from what God wants us to do. We do like Uzziah did. We become a failure. How do you keep from it? Stay in church. Read your Bible. Pray. Remember what the Bible says about prayer? Pray without ceasing. And it wasn't tied in with this message, but I was laying in the bed this morning, and I had prayed before I got up. But I was laying there, and I got to thinking, man, you know, the Bible said we're to pray without ceasing. And I thought of a fellow I know that says, he said, I pray in the morning, but I don't say amen. So I want to keep the line open, all right? Just want to keep the line open. You ever had one of these, you know, cell phones call you accidentally? Now, if you, anybody here never experienced that, somebody called you accidentally? Man, I could name names, but since I love to pick on my brother, I'll name him, all right? My phone will ring, and my brother's name comes out. Hello? And I can hear noise in the background. But it was one of them accidental things. And so I'm there, and I'll think, well, I'll try to get his attention. Have you ever done that? Phone's on, and I say, hey! You know, I'll yell. I'll whistle. You know, and nothing. He's oblivious, you know. And I'll hang it up, and man, no time he calls me again, all right? And usually what I have to do is call his wife, call Miss Linda, and say, would you tell your husband quit calling me? Hey, we do that kind of thing. We leave it open. But you know what? Like I say, this friend of mine, he said he'd pray in the morning, but he doesn't say amen. So to keep the line open. You know, pray without ceasing. Now, that obviously doesn't mean you're to keep your eyes closed all day long praying. But the Bible says watch and pray. So I don't think there's anything wrong with bowing your head in prayer. As a matter of fact, I think it's a good thing. But sometimes it's okay to pray with both eyes open. It's okay to do that. Watch and pray. Well, why? Keep your heart from getting cold. Just keep your heart from getting cold. I mean, it'll do something for you. It'll do something for you. Why, preacher? Here's why. I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to be a failure as a Christian. I want you to keep that heart warm. So be in church. Read your Bible. Pray. You know the others. Witness. Witnessing does something for you. Some of you say, yeah, it discourages you. Well, it can if you let it. But you don't have to let it do that. If you have that opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord, that'll take you for a day or two, buddy. Because what a rejoicing it is once you've had that opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. And you'll go out there and you'll witness again, and people slam the door in your face. That's all right. You'll be thinking of so-and-so that got saved when you knocked on their door or when you talked to them somewhere. It'll keep your heart warm, all right? Tell you something else. Well, going to church, yep, praying, you bet. You ought to do it. Read your Bible, yep, you ought to do it. Witness, yep. The last thing you ought to do, you need to give. You need to keep giving. You say, why? Because the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's where your heart will be. So give, invest in it. Boy, when it's something I'm invested in, I'm interested in hearing about it. I pulled out, I have a constant battle at my house, and it's all my fault, but I have a constant battle with paperwork. And I have a tendency not to throw things away the way I should. Stuff that I read sometimes, I ought to read it and just pitch it in the trash. But I don't do that, and it piles up. And then I'm going through it again. And I was doing that this last week. And I opened up, had this manila envelope. I was trying to remember, what in the world was in that? One of those, 5x9 type deals. Opened it up, pulled it out. It was a report from earlier this year from the Indian Bible Institutes in Brazil. And I'll never forget, I'm serious, I'll never forget when our missionary, Brother Joe Hawkins, first started talking about the Indian Bible Institutes. And I mean, he was fired up. He was excited. And I remember him presenting it to the church and talking about it. And then over some other visits, and we began to support that. And because I'll be honest with you, I caught the vision he had. And thinking about those Indian Bible Institutes. Now, if you're not familiar with what it is, if you look on the mission given, we support Indian Bible Institutes in Brazil. You said, what is that? That is where some indigenous Brazilian people, through the influence of Brother Hawkins and his sons, started Bible Institutes to train the indigenous native tribesmen to go in and reach their own people in Brazil. Because in Brazil, you cannot get on an Indian reservation. You cannot get into one of them and witness. They won't let you in because they're afraid you will spoil their wonderful natural condition, which is headed to hell. But they don't want you to mess up their culture, all right? But wait a minute. When some of those Indians come out of those reservations and they get saved, you see, they can't keep those Indians from going back to those reservations. And so that's what's going on. And I began to read down there through that page again. I'd read it before, but I began to read it again, and he began to name the different Indian Bible Institutes. There's five, and I think six ones planning to start and would have already started except for COVID problems in Brazil. And he talked about those five Indian Bible Institutes, where they're located. Man, one of them's like 1,500 miles up one of the tributaries of the Amazon, 1,500 miles away from Manaus, and that's where the main Bible Institute that Brother Hawkins and his family started is, but 1,500 miles up some tributary, there's an Indian Bible Institute. And they'll come for 3 weeks at a time. And they'll feed them, and they'll teach them and train them, and they'll go back and win their own people. And man, I began to read that, and I tell you what, I thought, thank God we're given to that. Thank God we have a part in that. I'm going to tell you, one of these days we're going to get to heaven. We're going to see some Brazilian people from way in the deep, dark recesses of the jungle, place you and I have never been, could not go if we wanted to go. But we're going to meet those people in heaven. Amen. Because somebody went in there. People gave. Whoa, what a blessing. What a blessing. You say, what does the money we do help them to do? It helps them to put on those institutes. helps put a little building up, and they'll come in. They'll put their hammocks in that building so they'll have a place. If it rains, it'll be out of the rain. And they have a place where they can gather, and they can be taught the Word of God, and food will be provided. It helps to provide the fuel for those workers to go all the way up those rivers to get in there. Hey, listen, what a blessing it is. That's why you ought to give. Why? Keeps your heart warm. Sad thing when a Christian gets a whole cold heart. When you and I get cold hearts, you know what we'd wind up doing? We become a failure as a Christian. Hey, what happens? Our mind goes. Our heart gets messed up. But there's a third thing. We get eye trouble. We get eye trouble. Take your Bible to Psalm chapter 27. 27th Psalm, would you? Notice what happens to us. Here it is. 27th Psalm, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says there. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh my. Blindness of eyes. We go blind spiritually. We get to where we don't see the goodness of God. Just don't see it. The psalmist said, I'd fainted if that had happened to me. That's, I'd have fell by the wayside. I'd have fallen out. A lot of God's people wind up as failures because they get blinded. Get blinded. Maybe that's what happened to Demas. Maybe he got blinded by all the junk in the world. A lot of people do. Why are you looking there? Why are you looking there? Nothing for you. Nothing to help you. There's pain and sorrow and trouble and trial, tribulation, but we get to looking. You know, hey, it blinds us. Blinds us. We get blinded by that. Our eyes get out of focus. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. We begin to look at people instead of God. Amen. Let me say that one more time. We begin to look at people instead of God. We begin to look at people because somebody upsets us. Well, you hurt my feelings. You upset. You looked at me and I saw that look. And I knew what that look meant. What are you looking for when you do that? Hey, where are we supposed to be focused? We're supposed to be focused on the Lord. That's where we're supposed to be looking. Man, we're supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus. That's to be our focal point, all right? That's it right there. We're not to be looking around at everything else. I'm to be looking to Him, Lord. How am I doing? How am I doing? Not, but Brother Marshall, how am I doing? No. Lord, how am I doing? Not somebody else. Not somebody else. You ever watched a kid that says, Daddy, Daddy, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And they've got something going on, you know, something tough. Like walking down the sidewalk. Or whatever. Look at me. Look at me. And they're looking at you to make sure you're looking at them. You know what they want? They want your approval. They want your approval. My friend, you and I, we're not to be looking at somebody else over here or over there and say, what do you think? It's to be, Lord, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? Am I doing? That's where we're to be focused. We're to be focused on Him. Not on some other human being down here. Well, they did something that hurt my feelings. Well, get over it. Just get over it. Come on. Listen, we deal with that in a Christian school constantly. Kids. You see kids come in, there's a problem. There's a problem. You can tell. Come in, pull their chair out. plop down in it. There is the problem plop, okay? You know when the child sits down like that, there's a problem. Call their name. Hey, so come here. Come here. They come over there. What's wrong?
So-and-so did this and this.
Get over it. Get over it. You know, it's going to be all right. Really, it's not the end of the world. I'll never forget. This is one of my favorite stories. This person's not here. If they were here, I might tell it anyway. I just wouldn't call their name. There was a girl who came to school. She fell in love with a boy in school. And, oh, man, they were in love. I mean, it was a real thing. And I don't remember what happened, but they broke up. And I remember sitting with the tears flowing down her face.
Brother Martin, you don't understand. This is the only person for me ever. There'll never be another person. This is it. Nobody else. This is the end of the world. Nobody ever is going to love.
Yeah, there will be. I reminded her a few years later when she stood right here. And another fellow stood right here. It's really going to be okay. We just get too focused on somebody else. Hey, listen to me. Lord, how am I doing? Not you over there, disgruntled, grippy. How am I doing? No, Lord, how am I doing? How am I doing? Now, listen to me. I've said we need to treat people right, and we should. We ought to do our best not to offend people. But I'm going to say at the same time, if somebody offends you, get over it. Amen. Get over it. Don't say, well, I'm done with Christianity. I'm just done with it. Man, he's independent Baptist people. Go to Presbyterian Church. You'll find people do the same thing. Pick one. The interdenominational. The non-denominational. The Pentecostal. The Holiness, the Episcopalian, the Congregationalist, the Methodist, the Nonconformist, the Unitarians, the Confused. I don't care who you pick. Somebody there is not going to treat you right. Well, I'm done with all of them. Okay, find you a cave and become a hermit. Because you're going to find people in every job that'll do that. You're going to find people in every kind of business that'll do that. I guarantee you it'll happen. I'm just telling you, get over it. It's not people here. You see, our problem, we get eye trouble because we get focused here instead of there. We get focused on some individual instead of on the Lord. And we fail. We fail. Last thing real quickly, Proverbs chapter 29. Still dealing with the eyes. Still dealing with eyes. Proverbs chapter 29. He said, preacher, why do people fail? Why do so many Christians fall by the wayside? Proverbs chapter 29, if you will. One verse there. Proverbs 29, look at verse 18. You'll recognize it immediately. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Hey, we lose that vision. We lose that vision for the things of God. We lose it. Listen, I've known Christians. I've known preachers. They failed. They're a failure. I've known missionaries. They were failures. Why? They lost that vision. They lost that vision for the work of God. Listen, you don't. All of these things can happen, but none of them are requirements, okay? You are not required to forget what God's done for you. You're not required to do that. You are not required, okay, to get heart trouble spiritually. You're not required to get cold-hearted. It's not a requirement, okay? You don't have to do it. It is not a requirement for you to get eye trouble. You don't have to do it. You don't have to. You can just stay faithful and serve God all your life. And by the way, a lot of people do. So how do they do it? Well, one thing is they keep those eyes focused. They keep that vision for God. They keep their memory freshly stirred. Listen, every now and then you ought to run out your salvation experience. You ought to trot it out in your life and you ought to think about it a little bit. How wonderful it was when you got saved. What a blessing it was. You ought to remember the good things God's done for you, okay? You say, well, I don't know about all that. Well, can you remember when he didn't kill you when he should have? Could you remember that? I mean, he should have killed you, but he didn't. Hey, just remember those things. Hey, do your best. Keep this old heart warm. Keep it stirred. Stay in church. Stay in the Bible. Stay on your knees in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Witness to people. Give to the Lord. It'll keep your heart warm, all right? Keep your heart warm. If you'll just do those things. You don't have to be a failure. Now, many do, but it's not God's fault. It's their fault. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us see and realize and remember, Lord, Saul the king. Lord, it wasn't God's fault that he became a failure. It's his fault. Think about King Uzziah. It wasn't God's fault. It was his fault. In the New Testament, we think about Demas, who had the privilege of working with the Apostle Paul. But yet even he turned out as a failure at one point. And he forsook the work of God. Lord, help us to learn and help that not to happen to us. But help us to be faithful, stay faithful to you. For us in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. You're dismissed.